Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy sunny financial Friday on Doctor's Orders. I am your host, Dr. Baker, the owner of the only business hospital in the world, where I wake up every single day looking to assist business owners and companies with their overall general health. In business, my job and goal is to see that you succeed and that you don't fail. And we do that in a number of ways. And one way is through this radio show. If you want to join our conversation today, you can do so at 859-291-2255. That's 859-291-2255. If you want to send me a note personally, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. That is info@drbaker.us. And if you've been following the show for any length of time at all, you will know that we have a different segment every day. And so we're looking to really provide programming around your business in just different ways. So when we talk about Financial Fridays, we're looking at a myriad of realities, from how do you make more money to how do you preserve your money? How do you look at your money? What are the economics surrounding your business? And in that instance, it's very important that the way you view yourself and the way that you see the economics, that those two things fall hand in hand, and that you don't get lost in just chasing after dollars, but that you're actually making really good decisions and that you're taking the appropriate risk in order to grow your business. Today's guest is no stranger to our show. I'm going to bring him in immediately because there's so much to talk about, but I'm bringing in DJ the Money Coach, Mr. Dale DeRansberg. DJ Money Coach, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dr. Baker. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing wonderful. There's so many things to do. There's so many things to talk about. I've been doing a lot more assessments lately. There's so many businesses that I've been charged with assessing because there are some programs going on here in Ohio, and these businesses need to figure out what their ratings are in order to participate in these programs. And what I'm learning from a lot of the assessments that I'm given is that a lot of business owners view their businesses similarly, and they're impaired, and they're not impaired because of their inability to think. We've been programmed to think in a way that really isn't as healthy for us, and now I've got to decode a lot of this programming of what it means to be a business owner and how should you view everything from your revenues to your expenses. Something that simple actually has levels to it and layers to it that the average business owner just simply doesn't have at a level that they should. And so it's slightly been alarming because when I ask certain detailed questions, they're missing it. And I know that you've seen that on a personal level, because a lot of the financial work you do is to help middle America increase in their wealth. But it's slightly been alarming. And you've just come back from a trip overseas that we talked about before on this show. You went to Africa and you went to Zanzibar to do some projects over there. And so you have a global intake on what economics look like. And what I'd like to do is to hear a little bit about the trip, what you did over there, in the event that you can share any of that, and then really talk to the people about some of the lessons you've learned or things you've been teaching your clients and people that's taking part in the work that you do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we literally just got back about 5 days ago, and we spent 10 days over in Zanzibar. And it was just spectacular, to say the least. I mean, on a tourism standpoint first, I'll address that part, because a lot of the propaganda and misinformation that is being shared in America about Africa is so fraudulent and untrue that we want to debunk that first and foremost, Dr. Baker. Zanzibar is a beautiful peninsula island that's on the east coast of Africa, and has a wonderful population, has not been impacted in any shape, size, or form by COVID. Let me express that. Has not been impacted in any negative way by COVID, and it actually is a beautiful place for people to go visit if they want to do that first and foremost. So second thing, from a business standpoint, you have to, build business local to go global. And you have to have that mindset and have a plan that you have to work with a team, a system, and do the work over the 2-5 years. So this Zanzibar opportunity for us, Dr. Baker, wasn't something that was happen chance. And just like you do assessments for businesses across the country and across the world, we find out that there's always opportunity if you can actually find the next hidden gem and the next, you know, advantage point from a, you know, business and from a educational, you know, standpoint, like a case study. And what I mean by that, there's a couple of good books that people should read first and foremost. There's a book by a gentleman that's called Built to Last. And Built to Last talks about how dinosaur businesses, you know, disappear. And then there's another book written by him. His name is Jim Collins. It's called Good to Great. And it basically talks about how to actually find, you know, great businesses on the rise and the emergence of technology and populations. And what I mean by that, give you a real quick example and how it relates to Zanzibar. Number one, if you look at the model of Netflix and how Netflix approached Blockbuster Video like 20 years ago and told them they wanted to partner with them to actually provide streaming services, and Blockbuster Video laughed at them. And then if you go back even further and look at IBM, when IBM was approached by Bill Gates to actually provide the platform for Microsoft, and IBM laughed at them. And both of them, too, made major mistakes that they didn't understand the disruptive technology that was going to change the world and become the norm, and they poo-pooed it. So what we found out through Jim Collins' Built to Last about all these companies like Circuit City who slept on Best Buy, we now have found demographically and population is going to be the biggest population in the world, which is Africa, and is led by primarily four case studies of age groups. So right now in Zanzibar, the average person age is like 18 years of age, and they have millions of people, so much so, Dr. Baker, that Nigeria, which is in Africa as well, is going to be the largest populated country in the world in 5 years. And if you look how businesses multinationally are successful, they actually target youth and follow them and create trends for them to have consumer buying habits. So Zanzibar is right in the middle of that right now. And their biggest industry is tourism. Their second biggest industry is transportation. And then their third industry is ancillary services that are tied into those, which is development. So we actually have been studying the shifts of the economics. We've studied the demographics and the growth of these four generations that are going to grow for the next 100 years. And we found an opportunity that nobody else knew about, Dr. Baker. So that's the first thing I want to get out there in front of your audience.
Well, you know, when you talk about that, you know, you got a couple aspects that I want to highlight. Is one is opportunity awareness. How can you determine what's an opportunity as opposed to what might be a distraction? And in this case, there might be a lot of seducing realities that you might want to invest in. If you're the common person, common business owner, when you're investing in your business and you're saying, all right, well, I got to put money into my business. But then let's say your business is doing okay or is doing really good and you've got a surplus and you say, well, I now want to diversify. I now want to start doing other things, or I want to become a serial entrepreneur. How does a person know what direction should they go in as opposed to which one should they not? You gave some really good clues, which is that one, you've done some research. And when I say research, meaning you didn't just read an article or you didn't just speak to a person and you didn't just do a Google search, but that you actually, and in this particular instance with Zanzibar, is that you actually have, you know, you flew to Zanzibar. And you had to take a look at the area and you met with the people and you really put your time into it to understand the ways of the culture and what would happen there. But number two is that you're now taking more than just research, but you're connecting it with your expertise and historical realities that's made you successful over time. And you're applying it to a different model. When you look at how you coach people and making these financial decisions and saying, yes, you should participate in this way or that way, what things or what indicators do you point them to where they can understand what's the difference between a good decision and a bad decision, or a good opportunity versus a bad opportunity, regardless of how it plays out?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dr. Baker. The first thing I do is I give them a lesson in history. And the lesson is, anywhere in any country on any continent where the middle class is starting to emerge, that's the place that you need to be. That's first and foremost. If you look at America, back when, you know, World War II came around and the women stayed home and then the industrial age began, our middle class was non-existent, and then it became the middle class that made it the most powerful, you know, country in the world. You now see that with China. You also see that with India. So from an economic standpoint, for any type of business and services, follow where the next emerging middle class is growing rapidly. And you know what, Dr. Baker? That's happening right in Africa, and it's happening right in Zanzibar. It's happening right in Nigeria. So when I put those aside, now I look at what are reoccurring, you know, services that people are going to need, regardless if it's a recession or if it's a great economy. What are those? Basic stuff, you know, toilet paper, you know, landscaping, you know, cleaning, you know, house building, schools, things of that nature that are going to propel the needs of massive consumer and education services that the middle class, which is emerging. And from there, you can go back to Jim Collins' Good to Great and only read chapter 5, which is called The Hedgehog Concept. So when I talk to an individual and say, here's what you need to focus on. One, what are the skills or the passion that you have that can be created a niche that can serve the middle class? The second thing is, what can you drill down specifically in a market that can separate you from everybody else? What did I do, Dr. Baker? I focused in America on the professional middle class. And the professional middle class for us was individuals coming out of college, starting with $50,000 a year income, to married couples or significant others that made $250,000 worth of income. And the reason why we did that, Dr. Baker, just like Netflix to Blockbuster Video, we saw a gap where professionals like you and myself, who were highly educated and thought we had some good assets, we want to work with the UBS and the Goldman Sachs of the world, but they're not going to work with us because we don't have liquidable assets of $5 to $10 million. Now, conversely, since we have master degrees and doctorate degrees and lawyers, we don't want to work with the Walmart financial services of the world, so we're not going to work with those. So that opened up an opportunity for us to focus on the professional middle class. So I tell them, figure out what that niche is for you. And then the third thing, Dr. Baker, is I say, how do you get people in front of you? What's your economic bus or your lost leader to prove that you are best in class? That's where we start from, and that goes right back to you doing assessments for businesses right now, because in a recession world, which we're in, we're not formally announced it, those people are not really doing the right systems, the right team, and the right plan based on the emerging economy that's growing. They're going to get disappeared and become dinosaurs.
Well, there's a couple things that you mentioned in that I think are really important that we have to look at. You know, I want to go back to a loss leader. And having a loss leader, and I want to say a conscious loss leader, I know for a fact that my assessment and my diagnosis are loss leaders. They are complementary. If you want your business to, you know, if you need to understand where you are as a business, myself and my team are going to put that together, and it's going to cost you nothing. There's literally no risk with that. However, you would have received the opportunity to have worked with us, and you can make decisions and declarations on if the business hospital and the treatment that we provide is right for you. Well, that is intentional based on our business model, based on our pro forma and our key assumptions for a three-year and five-year forecast. And so when you look at your business economically, you can say, where am I going to lose? But conversely, where am I going to gain? When new opportunities come along, sometimes that might be more difficult to determine. It might be a little harder to say, what's my metric? Because, you know, DJ, the money coach, said that there was a great opportunity in Zanzibar. But then Frank over here just said that crypto was the next best place for me to be in. But then Sue told me that I could put money aside and put into other companies, and I could watch them grow. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. What type of advice do you give that business owner that's struggling with how do I determine one from the next?
Well, again, that's a very good question, and it's a great assessment. But I firmly believe, Dr. Baker, that being a business owner and building your business and your craft supersedes anything. It supersedes the stock market. It supersedes real estate. And most importantly, Dr. Baker, it supersedes giving your money to somebody else to actually grow it for you because you don't have control over it. So I may be a contrarian to that point, but I firmly believe that based on that hedgehog concept, everybody, God has given them a actual skill a talent that they can massively build over 2 to 5 years, and they can actually be successful having their own agency. So if that person is being told, hey, maybe you should put your coins in crypto, maybe you should put your coins over here, first thing I'm going to ask them is, again, what is your passion or your skill that if you're long as you're healthy, we can develop a plan, put a team behind you like you have done very successfully over the past decade, Dr. Baker, and then we can actually show you a system and go to work in 2 to 5 years. We can help you be six-figure income earner, seven-figure net worth, no matter what that talent or skill you have, as long as it's legal, ethically, and morally sound. And I think the problem is most small business owners and professionals or working-class people who want to be small business owners or entrepreneurs, they got to stop listening to all the noise. They gotta shut that noise out. I don't know if you and I are about the same age. You remember back in the day when the television used to literally go off and show white noise. And now every channel you get never goes off 24/7. So that's the first thing you got to do. You got to stop, evaluate what your gifts are, see what your passion is, and then put a plan together and then work it and then take the data and follow it. Because the consumer market and the middle class is going to have ability to provide a lifestyle for you if you choose the right business. That's just a simple fact, and that's never going to change. So I can take my, you know, extra income that I make and then put some money in crypto. But if I'm not building a business in crypto because I'm excited about crypto and I'm going to develop some masterful skills over the next 2 to 5 years, then I should not be trying to invest in crypto, if that makes sense. Because that's
well,
where
it does.
Many
well, it does.
Make mistakes.
Well, you talked about the noise, and it reminds me of a patient of mine who has an invention, a nanotechnology invention that works on the body. It works on a host of other elements, but the body is one. And there's a lot of, and I want to say this delicately without giving up what she's done and how she's done it, but essentially there are some cancer benefits to this nanotechnology. And what makes the technology so strong is that it doesn't remove cancers, but it stops the cancer from spreading by allowing your body to stop being damaged. And so all she does is it removes the radiations in the world, because the radiations are what's attacking you. Now, I know that that's a complicated analogy that I just gave for maybe many people, but here's why I'm giving it, is that we have to stop the attacks. So when you talk about noise, I look at noise as attacks. So when I see social media, I see that as an attack. When I see certain media stations, I see that as an attack. It's an attack on your psyche. It's an attack on your emotional state. It's an attack on your intellect. So let's say you're a business owner and you are finding yourself not performing at the level that you want to. Well, desperation might creep in. Then you're told two or three things because the media never stops, or the social media never stops, or your friends never stop. And now you start listening to things that in other instances you may not have listened to. And the desperation leads into decision-making that might not be prime. You made a statement that you talked on your skill set or the thing that you've been graced to do. That is the thing that's going to generate you the most revenue. And so in the world of economics, generating revenue is number one, because there's nothing to plan. There's nothing to strategize for in the event it doesn't exist. So generating revenue becomes the primary goal, but you do that by using your best skill set, not chasing waterfalls like the old popular TLC song, trying to figure out where should you go. Where you should go is what you've been graced to do. And that's essentially what you're talking about, is using those skills at its highest level. Is that right?
Oh, that is absolutely correct. There's a saying that Denzel Washington used in the movie American Gangster. He said, sometimes you got to do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. What do we mean by that? And I'll give it to you in a sports analogy. A lot of times children grow up that are very gifted. They can do a lot of things well, but they can't do them great. And so sometimes kids will start playing football, but they also play baseball. But their skills will be highly more developed than baseball, but football is sexier. And then they'll choose football, but it doesn't give them the longevity outlet. But the wise ones that get first, a coach and counselors. I'm going to say that again. They get a coach and counselors, and then they assess the projection of where that person can be, and then they tell them, hey, you know what? You should go into baseball. I'll give you an exact example. There's a kid named Jeff Samaza who played for Notre Dame back in the mid-90s. He was a phenomenal receiver in football?
For Notre Dame, yep.
Yep, but he chose to be a baseball pitcher, and he had a very super successful, far better career in baseball than he did in football. I'll give you another example. Look at Kyler. What's Kyler's last name for the
team? Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. He was drafted by the Oakland A's first round, and then football gave him a quicker opportunity to get the total job done. And a lot of times we don't have the right team, we don't have the right coaches, so we take the most sexiest and easiest way out than taking the hard pathway that'll give you the right long-term success. So that's the first thing that they have to do. Now, how does that relate to Zanzibar? What we were able to figure out is that Zanzibar, by being a very exotic destination and by being newly developed third world, it's now being very attractive to major investors. And those major investors are capitalizing on the economics of their currency. Zanzibar currency, I need your people to hear this. One U.S. dollar is equivalent to 2,300 of theirs. There's nowhere on this planet that you can get that exchange rate on an exotic island. That's number one. Number two, again, their middle class is emerging for the next 100 years. The average person in Zanzibar is about 18, 20 years of age. That means from the oldest person to the youngest person. So that means they got four generations of people that are going to be 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, 80s. Now you take that model, look at what happened in India. Now they became a juggernaut in the IT. Then they became a juggernaut in Bollywood. Look at how it's doing in China. The same thing. And then you look at the immediate, you know, example of Nollywood in Nigeria. And you say to yourself, wow, what all these have in common? Emerging middle class. They have children that are going to be adults and adults for a long period of time. They consume cell phones. They consume soda. They consume technology. They consume education because as they grow, they're going to need financial help. So we saw an opportunity to build a resort as our Trojan horse to actually get into the real more important services like cleaning, like concierge, like transportation, and then provide them with financial education, the same thing we do here in America, Dr. Baker. And that's why we're going to be successful, and that's why your people need to get in touch with us.
Well, you're talking about things that many times you're like, man, wait a minute, it's another country or this is a business dealing that I'm not used to. What are we talking about developing? I have a product or a service. Am I taking my product and service over there because they're emerging, or should I pay attention to that while I'm over here? How do they make good sense of it and not view any of it as noise?
Well, again, first and foremost, they got to get that assessment that you're doing for them. That's the first thing we do, Dr. Baker. We actually do a three-step assessment for people's personal finances. And if you don't do that, it don't matter what product, what service, what talent, what skill you have, you got to stop and get that assessment. If you are sick, you're going to go to the doctor and get an assessment, or you're going to go to urgent care, correct? A lot of times we try to shortcut the shortcut and don't understand the value and importance of it because, again, Dr. Baker, it's not sexy. We want the quick fix. So what you have to be able to do, what I tell people all the time, turn off IG, turn off YouTube, turn off Facebook, and go find an expert to actually sit down and assess you if you really are serious about your future. If you are, you will do it. And once you do that, we now will do an assessment. We'll do a risk tolerance questionnaire on the person, determine what type of investor they are. We'll then do a financial analytical report, which is basically a financial physical covered from A to Z, be it if they got wills, power of attorney, if they have emergency funds. And then, Dr. Baker, we take all that information and do a comprehensive 13-page financial education plan, and that's the starting point of pre-kindergarten. Then we address, oh, you know what, Dr. Baker, what's your passion? What's the skill that you have that you may not want to do it, but you're better at it, that can actually provide you stability? Once we determine that, then we show you the actual markets that you can actually work in locally. And just like multinational companies, we create joint venture partnerships with governments and other successful companies in that company, in that country. And we move forward from there. That's the way it works. There's no shortcut to that, Dr. Baker.
Now, when we talk about economics, and once again, everyone that's listening, you're here on Doctor's Orders. I'm Dr. Baker. We're here with DJ the Money Coach. I want to talk about stability when it comes to running your business or even making what I would call ancillary financial decisions. So you're taking dollars from your primary offering and you're putting it somewhere else. Is that stability has everything to do with very good and sober decision making, and trying to obtain stability becomes a very difficult reality for many entrepreneurs. You find that business owners, and let's just use legacy or family-owned businesses that's been passed down from generation to generation, or a mom-and-pop shop, is a lot of times they are working really hard just to stay afloat and make payroll. There is no stability. A lot of times that also comes from things that I help companies with, which are systems, understanding their target audience, knowing where and how to convert their target audience. But when it comes to just the sheer economics, how important is it to have stability, knowing what you're going to get from month to month, how to plan that out, making sure that there's reserves there to allow your runway to be as long as possible so that you can start making wealth decisions?
Oh, I mean, that's number one, Dr. Baker, because you got to have an emergency fund. You got to have a solid income in order for you to be able to take and afford the risk that you have to have in order to be successful in business. Because as you and I both know, the average successful entrepreneur is probably going to go through 5 or 6 businesses before they actually find the right one that works for them, that can actually provide them with the stability they need. So generally what happens if you either are married, you have one, you know, spouse that actually has a stable income so that entrepreneur can be able to fulfill and chase those dreams. But that doesn't happen if those people don't have an emergency fund together, if they don't have a risk of money and capital and time that they can afford to lose. And I think a lot of times with these younger people, they immediately hear people talking about quit your job, go be an entrepreneur, but it's not that easy. So when they jump out of here, quit that job that's paying them $30, $40, $50 an hour, and they see all these people again on the white noise mediums, and they don't tell you that they had a lot of work that they put in. They had a lot of failures, because it literally, Dr. Baker, takes 3 years for you to be successful in any enterprise. What do I mean by that? Year number one, that is your invest and educate year. I'm going to say that again. This is what college is for you to invest and educate yourself. Year number two, Dr. Baker, you actually are gaining experiences because you're starting to see the same patients, members, clients over and over, so you now can analyze their situation quick in a blink of an eye, like Malcolm Gladwell talked about his book called Blink. The third year, Dr. Baker, you now become the resident expert in your craft, and you will have now worked towards those 10,000 hours of deliberate practice, and you can now be the go-to person. So that stability is most important before you take those crazy risks. And I could tell you personally, I did the opposite. I jumped out, quit my six-figure paying job, and I ran through a lot of hardships. Had my car, you know, repossessed, had $60,000 worth of consumable debt, had a 525 credit score, but I was fortunate to overcome that. Most people aren't, but unfortunately in this world, we're showing people really lottery ticket winners and people thinking that's the norm, that everybody can be a superstar or everybody can be lucky, when it's just hard work, team, system, and that'll give you the stability of having stuff that you can afford to lose so that you don't lose your house or lose your apartment or your car. That's what's important, Dr. Baker.
Well, as you create a business, in which you've done that just in the realm of economics and money, but nevertheless, you still have to run that business no differently than a person who sells tires, which is, I have to make sure that my product is good. I have to make sure that my method of delivery is sound and that it reaches the masses at a level that I can then back up and execute. On and on. You need those key components. But when those dollars start to come in and we have to start segmenting that $1 bill, how many ways does that individual dollar bill get sliced? Is that, you know, you got payroll, you've got inventory and merchandise, you've got insurance, and you've got all the ways that that $1 has to be split. In that instance, I think a lot of times business owners forget that paying themselves to have stability has to be a part of that. And so how they make their decisions has to be considered with that level of stability. And I would also say that even that dollar has to have a portion cut for future investment. to make sure that they can go and climb the mountain. Because what I see so regularly, and I'm very curious to your opinion on this, is a lot of business owners create a new job for themselves. They hated their old job or their old boss, if you will, but now their new boss isn't much better. They're now become a slave to the thing that they then decided to create, and that doesn't bode well for them either. When you look at statistics from low credit scores to depression to failed marriages, a business can bring that to you. And a lot of times it's money issues that creates that. What have you seen in that space is you've seen so many people's personal finances, and I would have to imagine that you've had intimate conversations with your clients, because with money brings intimate dialogue. What does that look like for you?
Absolutely. So here's how it looks. And again, I'll start myself first, and I'll tell you about a couple of, you know, clients. So I started my first official business, which was a cleaning company called White Glove Immaculate Services, in 1997. And I actually had been working in the accounting field. I had went to school, got my degree, minor in accounting, tried to become a CPA. But once I built up a reserve, and even though I had done, you know, accounting practices for corporations, doing the P&Ls and the ledgers and all that good stuff and depreciation, what I didn't realize was that I had a security, because I got a check regardless I perform or not. And then when I took that money, Dr. Baker, and I started my business, the first thing that I didn't do is set up that same security system that that corporate job provided me. So a lot of times, these entrepreneur wannabes, they do the exact same mistake. They forget that if they have a bad week or a bad month, a corporation is cutting them a check on the 15th or the 30th. So they start working in their entrepreneur ways and don't set up the systems first, and then they start stumbling. And that stumbling begins to create a divide between them, their family, their wife, their husband, their children. And then they're wondering what is going on. And the problem is that they didn't start first with putting that stability in place by saying, you know what, I do need to put some money aside for the business. I do need to find investors in future as my business grows or it needs to have resources to get off the ground. Then I need to put a retirement program in place for myself. I actually made this mistake, Dr. Baker, where I actually left $500,000 on the table after I ran my cleaning company for almost 10 years, because even though I was an accountant, I never set up a self-employment pension plan for myself. Imagine that. I sit down with my CPA and my financial planner, and they say, hey, guess what? You left $500,000 on the table. I said, what do you mean? They said, every time we told you to set up a SEP, you didn't do it. You didn't set up a Roth. I said, I was too busy building my business. They said, well, guess what? This is going to be the death of you, because with a 7% return, that's going to be worth like $2.5 million when you hit 50. Guess what? They were right. So the first thing we do, I just recently had a new client of mine who's a travel, a golf, and a foundation builder, and he worked for the city of Houston and was extraordinary at his job and had massive success doing it, and he was doing his side business, which was doing the foundations and the golf outings. And he had a lot of success because the opportunities came with him without him having to market, because people just heard about him. So he quit his job, and he started doing the events. He didn't take, you know, the money up front from the people who wanted him to do the task for him. And when they started growing, they were not paying him on time. And when they stopped paying him on time, you know what happened, Dr. Baker? All his reserves that he gained from his job start to get eaten up very rapidly. So we see this all the time, Dr. Baker. And the most important piece is, again, stop the noise. Sit down with the expert. Get an assessment. Put some insurance policies in place. Get a plan where you can attract people to actually invest in your business. And then when your business grows fast, which is another reason why people run out of business too, is because they grow faster than they can afford. They don't have the resources to support the massive growth. So you have to be attractive to other potential investors and actually put in place a security plan, which represents putting your own pension plan together, putting your own amount of insurance programs together. And one of the ones that they don't even look at, Dr. Baker, key man policies. You know, that's important. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. What is a key man policy? A key man policy, say Dr. Baker is the magic in the doctor's hospital and he is no longer available or he decides to leave, you have to be able to afford to go hire that right person to replace him. You know, and a lot of people don't realize that because they look at it as a cost, Dr. Baker, but it's not a cost. So then you have to put in your disability insurance. These things that you don't expect that have never happened, but they do happen. It's part of life. So these are some of the things that a lot of these people I sit down with on a regular basis that I talk to them about before they get all excited about these, you know, elaborate dreams that they have. And I say, hey, let's do the stuff that's not sexy. It's going to help you make it through this entrepreneurial endeavor so that you don't end up going back to work, or most importantly, you don't, you know, ruin your life. You don't ruin your marriage. You don't ruin the time that you were spending with your children because you didn't plan right and you didn't sit down with the right professional team to give you the right advice that you needed to hear, not what you wanted to hear. That's the main challenge, Dr. Baker.
Well, you were in Africa when I had these two episodes, but we had Inye Kanu of Kanu Asset Management on, and he spent a lot of time talking about Key Man, and we had Lawrence Jones in from Riskversity, and he spent some time talking about different types of insurance, risk protections, and disability was one of them. And as we offer this information out to our business owner leaders and those that aspire to have a business, is that it's not so much that these individuals are in these industries and they're seeking to solicit you through the airwaves. It's because once you go to create a business that's successful, and when we say successful, that is subjective, but it's earning the type of revenue that you sought after. It's providing for the employees. It's providing a benefit for those in the market. You want to protect all of that. You want to make sure that you're maximizing every opportunity that you can. And ultimately, you're doing it, so therefore, it provides you the life that you're looking for. You know, I'm going to deviate a moment. You know, obviously, prayers go out just to the people of England because, you know, with the Queen and her passing. But somebody had made a really stupid statement. It really made me mad. I actually got into an argument with someone that I know for a long time about it. And when I say I was arguing, he and I wasn't arguing with each other. We were arguing with the proverbial person that we had never met. And the question was, I wonder what the Queen's net worth was. And we were like, why would you care? Like, the Queen doesn't have a net worth. She doesn't need one. Right? The Queen doesn't have a need for the same common realities that we do. And so unless you plan to be the king or the queen of some stuff, you got to work. And as you work, you have to build that. And you want to build that to the place where it allows you the comforts of what you want to have, and you're able to then pass that along to the people that you care about. So whether you have kids or whether you have siblings or whether you have a community, you want to do something and leave that. Well, how you go about your economics is vitally important. And so protecting the things that are important. So if you have a business and there's, you know, six of you on your top management team and you've got 10 employees, there might be two or three people in that company that you have to protect. You don't want them to leave because they are a part of your stability plan. Or you want to make sure that you don't make the same mistake that DJ the Money Coach did and leave money on the table when all he had to do was set up an account and then display the type of discipline that would allow him to reap the rewards. Now you had to rework again to try to get those same rewards that you lost out of just simply having the discipline to do so. What are some of the fears that you run into regularly with your clients, you know, when they start to open up and they say, well, I didn't do this because of this reason, I didn't do it because of that reason, or I'm not so certain about this? What typically keeps them from making really smart money decisions?
Well, the first thing that they have fear about is this really going to work? And that may sound simple, but the reality is they believe, but they don't know, Dr. Baker. So it's the mindset. Their fears are resonating from their mindset that they really don't 100% know they can be successful in their endeavor. And I've sat down with people who were making $500 million a year working for somebody else. But then when they stepped onto that lane of entrepreneurship, they really didn't know that they could be 100% successful. So that's number one. Number two, the capital is where they had fear about running out, or you know what they call, you know, your burn rate. So a lot of times they would underestimate how much money they needed to get a business off the ground, and then that fear would start to prevent them from actually moving faster or asking people for help. That's another fear, that they don't want to come across as somebody soliciting people. But I tell them, as a professional and a business owner, you can't be a stealth. You have to let everybody know you're in business, and you have to do it with what I call the four P's. You have to be professional, number one, is P number one. And professional, I always say speak the king's English. And what I'm saying, Dr. Baker, is if I'm in the medical industry, I have to speak the jargon, not necessarily proper English, but I have to know the terminology so I can be relatable. Number two in that professionalism, if we have this show coming on at 2 p.m. Eastern every Friday, I got to be ready at 1:45 so we can go live at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then if you're wrapping up in a show, you have to start wrapping down at 2:45 if it's going to show close at 3 p.m. So that professionalism is have that under control. The second thing in those four P's is persistence. You have to have persistence with consistency of working your plan, Dr. Baker. And then the third one is the perseverance is the biggest fear, Dr. Baker. This is where they really don't know if they have the intestinal fortitude to make it through hardships, through people who love them that tell them, I don't think your dream is going to work. That's their biggest fear, Dr. Baker, right there having mom, dad, spouse, uncle, best friend say, you really serious about opening up this kind of business? And that one chuckle, no matter how successful that person was in corporate America, school, or whatever, it prevents them from moving forward because that belief is not knowing that God has engineered them to have that absolute success. And then the last P, Dr. Baker, is just performance. When you have that slim opportunity to perform by putting professionalism together, persistence, and being perseverant, you got to be able to perform. And a lot of times that fear is a combination of all four of those not in alignment. That's what the common person that I sit down on day-to-day basis for the last 20 years, I've sat down with over 25,000 people across the United States, and I've done speeches and platforms over 100,000 people across the country. Those are the common ones that a lot of people can't get over.
Well, let's look at I'm going to call it the doubt factor. And, you know, you embark on something that you're uncertain of, but that's because you haven't practiced the thing that you are certain of. So if we go back to a statement you made earlier regarding generating revenue around your skill set, if I'm doing a thing that I've done through muscle memory mm-hmm. a million times, mm-hmm. well, I can be confident in that regardless of where I do it. If I were to use an infantile example, you know, it might be, you know, I can say my ABCs. I can say them perfectly. But it might get a little more nerve-wracking if I have to say it in front of 50,000 people, you know, with a microphone, only because there's that many people there. But the bottom line is I still would know my ABCs and that reality as you would privately in your home teaching your child. So that means that that skill set has been built, and that reduces your doubt of if you can actually do something. I think what happens a lot of time to business owners is that business owners engage in things that they just really aren't great at. Someone has told them to do something, and then they've jumped to do it, and they're uncertain about how it would be received. Whereas if you had done the thing that you've always done, now you're confident in it. And so if you make the decision that you want to try something different or you want to go into a different lane, it's more about having those repetitions. I would like to think that money matters are identical. If you understand principles of money, strategies of money, when you go to make a financial decision or one that has a substantial ramification to your economics, well, you would actually be certain as well because you'll understand the principles of money. I know with you and the work that you do, you're teaching these individuals principles of money. So when it comes to some of your tax work, are you nervous every year about some of the tax write-offs you're going to get, or are you pretty confident about the write-offs you're going to get?
Oh, I'm absolutely confident, supreme confident, because like you said, Dr. Baker, we've been doing this over and over and over again, and the principles of taxes does not change. They might create a new, you know, loophole, like, you know, President just, you know, waived, you know, student loans up to a certain, you know, amount of income. We just applied those new, you know, additions to the rule, but the principles of taxation are the same. So I am more confident in all the write-offs that we afford to get because we're working in the right entity structure. And that's another thing that they have fear in is they actually don't know the proper entity structure to pursue business, because in this fad-based world we live in, Dr. Baker, and get rich quick, everybody wants to do the simple and the easy thing first, which they think, oh, an LLC is the magical
panacea for success, but there's 8 different entity structures that are acknowledged by the IRS, and the LLC is not always the one appropriate for your type of business. So the first thing we do, we go back to the basics. Newt Rotney said, he said at the beginning of every year, even though they won championships, this is a football. And all we need to do, Dr. Baker, is to move the chains, get 10 yards and 4 down, and before you know it, we will score touchdowns. We can't always try to get that 80-yard bomb or that 80-yard run because those are mistakes. But if you know how to move the chains, you will always be successful. And that's what we lead people back to, those 3 basic assessments, Dr. Baker. I cannot speak enough about that to your audience. You first, if you're listening to us right now and you are a working professional or a white-collar professional, you need to do a risk tolerance questionnaire to know what your assessment capacity is. Are you a conservative investor? Are you an income investor? Are you a growth investor? Are you a moderate? Are you an aggressive investor? That tells you right now any little bit of extra cash that you can afford to invest will put you in a safety position so you don't lose your house, lose your apartment, lose your car. Like I told you, I had my car repossessed because I was living way above my means back in the mid-90s. The second thing we need to do is go back and do a financial analytical report on you. Look at everything in your household, from your wills to your emergency fund to your retirement to your debt, and see what that all looks like and give you a true hard assessment. And then the third thing, Dr. Baker, we need to do a comprehensive written financial plan to show you everything: house analysis, mortgage, debt, college, retirement, emergency fund, investments, and now give you a plan for 2 to 5 years, and then assess what are my passion skill, and secondly, what is my niche in a saturated market, because there's nothing new under the sun. There's new, opportunities in old dated industries. And then the third thing is, again, like you said, what is the economic bus to bring people in front of you, which is your lost leader, to get you accelerated to prove that Dr. Baker is the best business hospital in the world, to prove that DJ the Money Coach is the best financial education system for the middle class. And then that's where you make the real impact. And then in 2 to 5 years, you'll make $250,000 to $1 million if you just run the plan. It's just that simple, Dr. Baker, but it's not easy.
Well, I want to go back to something that you touched on, which is making sure that things are appropriately done. I was talking to a potential patient a few weeks ago, and I told him that I wanted to oversee or essentially take another look at his company structure. And he told me, well, no, I don't really need any help with that. And I was like, no, I kind of would like to look at it to ensure that you're solid. And if I confirm that you're solid there, then it will be a moot point and we continue to move to the next level. And this was during the diagnosis, if you will. So he's looking at the cost of my business treatment and he's trying to minimize my cost by saying, I don't want you doing extra things. It's kind of you go to the dealership and you ask for an air filter, but they're asking you for a belt and you're like, no, I just want the air filter, because you think the dealer's just trying to get more money. Well, the reason why that mentality is dangerous when you're uncertain about business is that, and I know that you know this, so help me if I go too far and you're like, no, doc, I don't see it that way. Please stop me in my tracks. But you can listen to a person about how they talk about money or how they talk about their business structure or how they talk about their business model or the economics of an industry, and you can say this person is really off base. And because they're off base here, I have a suspicion that they may be off base in other places. Now, they may not be, but it leads you to a point to question it. And so if you're a really good expert or a really sound professional, you can't just assume that they knew what they were doing in a space, because that's where your errors come from. But this particular person could not see the wisdom in that. Well, that's why it's important to have a good team around, or it's important to know that I need to scrutinize all of my decisions to make sure that something isn't missed. Let's go back to protecting your money and looking at taxes. There are tax codes that change regularly, whether it's through voting, whether some have terms on them. And so my accountant tells me literally every time there's a new law passed or there's a new amendment or a new clause, he literally sends me an email and we go through it. Well, there's not a lot of people that are looking at the tax codes at that level. But if you only reviewed your tax codes 6 years ago and was like, oh, I'm fine on that. I'm good. I don't have to look at it. Well, how do you know that you're not missing something? And we make those grave mistakes in our business, which keeps us from being economically stable. And so a lot of what you're talking about is saying, no, I have a mindset of continuing to get better, to understanding my world, to continue to learn, and therefore I can run my business the best way possible. We started this segment by talking about a lot of the opportunity that's going on in a foreign land, but nevertheless, Zanzibar is growing and has the potential to grow to a level that will make a lot of people wealthy if they engage in this time. But you have to understand the metrics, you have to understand the timing, and you have to understand the industry that the different groups that are building out Zanzibar are playing in. Well, the reason why I bring that up is if you're not stable in your current business, you cannot venture out. We've already discussed that. But what we do know is that having a well-balanced portfolio is a benefit for having long-term wealth. And so your mindset has to be congruent with that reality. Do you find yourself having to talk to your clients a lot about their mindset and saying it's okay to make sure that someone oversees my finances, or it's okay that there is another way or another method of me accomplishing the same goal? Or is that line of thinking rejected regularly and you have to overcome it?
You know, it's so funny is that right now, you know, you can't see me, Dr. Baker. I actually have a T-shirt on that says mindset matters with a picture of a brain. That's the first thing we sit down is talk about their mindset. And the second thing we tell them is just like you said with that client, say, oh, no, you don't need to look at that. Guess what? We need to look underneath your hood and look at everything. And before we can even make a determination on how we can truly help you, we need not make any assumptions. We just need to analyze and put an X-ray and look at everything. And I'll give you a quick point. When I started my cleaning company, we would do what's called a basic cleaning. And we would go into these high-end condominiums in downtown Chicago, and then we would clean a place, and then we would get complaints about, hey, you didn't clean everything right. And then I realized what was going on. Our definition of clean and the client's definition of clean were two different definitions, Dr. Baker. So you know what I ended up doing? I did what's called a preliminary cleaning so we can make the house look like white glove approval. And then from there, we would determine if we need to clean the shades, the blinds, the floors, and then we called a basic cleaning. It was basic services. And once we got that analyzed and they were on the same page, we had success. So what we want to be able to do for your audience to help them get on that point is actually provide them with an opportunity to get access to us, Dr. Baker. So we're going to do a special for your audience. It's called the 2x2x2. What that is, Dr. Baker, we're going to give them two of our complimentary consultations. They'll get a consultation with yours truly, where I'll sit down and answer their three most important financial questions. Number two, we'll give a consultation with them with our CPA or our licensed professional registered investment advisor that's been with us for 20 years. And then the other two is we actually will give them two master classes, which you have taught in with us several times, Dr. Baker, that it's a two-hour class that covers the ABCs of finances for consumer debt freedom, pay off their home, build 800 credit scores, and start businesses the right way. And then we'll do all of that for less than $100. And the satisfaction guaranteed. And we want to offer that to the audience. And all they got to do, Dr. Baker, is call us at 866-395-3042, 866-395-3042. And then we can talk to them if they're interested in Zanzibar, and we'll give them a free presentation on Zanzibar.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic. I think that if you're listening today, you want to call in, you've got my word that I'm going to tell the rest of my constituents, and I'll make notice of it to where when I'm talking to the people that are here in our region that they need to participate. If you're listening, what's important about this is that information is critical. My company, and I don't know if I've even told you this, but my company, DJ Money Coach, goes by four pillars. And those four pillars are information, innovation, ideation, and imagination. And that first I, being information, is the reason why I'm valuable. As I have information that the average person doesn't have access to, I spend a lot of money on getting information. So because of that, we have a scenario where I look at information differently, and we say, hey, If you have better information, you can make better decisions. And with better decisions, you can be more successful. So what DJ the Money Coach is offering you is information that will help you in your personal life. In the event that you are a business owner and you're looking to generate revenue, it is clear that you have done that to provide for self and for family. And there are smarter ways to make sure that you are reducing costs, you're building credit, you're saving more, you're putting them in different buckets that have different purposes that allow you to take advantage, whether it's of tax breaks or interest rates, on and on and on. And if you're not an expert in that field, then you need to gather as much information as you possibly can. And that's where we come in, and that's the thing that DJ the Money Coach is offering. Is there a website, DJ, that they can go to that they can look at, whether it's for more information, whether it's to register? What does that look like?
Yes, sir. Actually, it's djthemoneycoach.com. djthemoneycoach.com. It's just that simple, Dr. Baker. And again, they can call us at the 800 number, which is 866-395-3042, 866-395-3042. And you know, Dr. Baker, that everybody on our staff is an expert. We actually have CPAs, lawyers, mortgage bankers, estate planners, financial planners, and everybody on our team, Dr. Baker, has a minimum expertise and experience of 15 years in their specific industry. No generalists at all. We have been in this business for 20 years, celebrating our 20th year anniversary, and you've been teaching in our master class for 2-3 times, and people love the teaching that you provide, and the assessments you give are real, they're solid, and they actually make productivity for people who are serious. Now, this is not for people who are not serious, Dr. Baker, because it's going to require some work, going to require some discipline, some accountability, and it's going to require plugging into the system. That's all they have to do, Dr. Baker.
Well, which we think that that's easy, but a lot of times it gets difficult because business owners allow life to get in the way of their growth because they're chasing the business itself. So they're doing business development. They're making the product. They're providing the service. Then they've got family. And so it gets very difficult to squeeze in. How do I work on myself? How do I learn more about what I need to do to protect this family that I say I'm doing it for? How do I do that better? And what I'm urging everyone, every listener, is that if that's you, don't let it be you. Stop being that person and go out and say, hey, this is how I'm going to make myself better. A lot of times, if you did things differently in your personal life, you actually can make less money in your business and free up more time to do the very things that you're actually passionate about. Am I right about that?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And you know what we're going to do for your audience, Dr. Baker? For everybody that calls in today, we're actually going to give them a complimentary consultation to develop business credit from 0 to 6 months, $100,000 from 0 to 12 months. We can show you from scratch how to build $200,000 in business credit lines. And we're talking about doing it the actual right way, not all these tricks and trades, but actually how to develop it the way Dun and Bradstreet recognizes it.
Which is fantastic. Well, everyone, thanks so much for joining the show today. DJ the Money Coach, it's a pleasure as always. We're going to continue our dialogue and push forward with helping people understand their world from a financial standpoint. This has been Financial Friday on Doctor's Orders. Everyone, I hope to hear you or see you again on Monday, which is Market Monday. Thanks so much, and I wish your business all the best health.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.